when I spent time reflecting on this, part of a prayer kept coming to mind. It's the collect we actually use on the last Sunday of Trinity, or Bible Sunday. And so I'm going to start by using that, because Libby's already done some contemporary prayer, so I don't need to. So let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It's that first part that seems so pertinent to us today, and I think it's surely the most biblically rooted prayer about reading the Bible that we ever say on a Sunday. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. Isn't this what Ezekiel's just been saying? I will be looking at that passage, and you might find it useful to have your Bibles open on page 787, Ezekiel 3, 1 to 11. I did try yesterday. I went to Banstead, despite the bomb scare the day before, to try and buy some rice paper, because I've already got pens that are edible ink. I use them for decorating cakes. So I was going to write on some rice paper and then tear up the scripture of God and give you parts. But unfortunately, I didn't find any rice paper in Banstead. So I do apologise. And it was only last night when I thought, I should have got some tortilla wraps. Because they would have worked quite well, really. And actually, you know, being that much thicker, no, not with chicken, maybe. But being that much thicker, they'd probably have felt more like a scroll anyway, because their scrolls weren't nice, smooth paper. They were vellum. He said, "Son of man, eat what is before you. Eat this scroll. Then go and speak to the people of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me the scroll to eat. Then he said to me, "Son of man, eat this scroll I am giving you, and fill your stomach with it." So I ate it, and it tasted as sweet as honey in my mouth. So much of the time, scripture does seem really sweet to eat, doesn't it? God's words are full of his love, his encouragement, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his mercy, his grace. They're really good things to hear. And there's that hope of everlasting life. What can be sweeter to hear than that? But I'm sure that I'm not alone in sometimes finding that although scripture can offer us sustenance and we know we should read more of it, it can sometimes seem a bit like a dry tortilla wrap with no chicken or sauce in it, Libby. Have you ever tried eating those just by themselves? It's not that easy, is it? They're really hard to swallow. It can be uncomfortable and challenging, because scripture seeks to change us, to transform us, to help us to become all that we were created to be, to fulfill our God-given potential. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I haven't wanted to be changed, even though I know it will be good for me to change, even though I know that God wants the best for me and he wants me to achieve my God-given potential. There are times when I have wanted to dig my heels in and resist change, oppose growth, when I have found what was offered to me to be unpalatable, the thought of it's unpalatable. Earlier this week, somebody said, "Would you like a cup of tea or coffee?" And I said, "Oh, I'd love a cup of tea, please. Not much milk, quite strong." And I was just carried on, and we were chatting, and I had a glug of it and nearly spat it out because it was white coffee. And although actually on reflection it wasn't a bad taste, it wasn't what I expected, and I just wanted to spit it out. sometimes the word of God can be like that. It's not what we're expecting. It's not what we're wanting to take in. And it challenges us and we want to spit it out. It doesn't seem palatable, even though on reflection it's actually very nice. This is where the house of Israel was. In many respects, Ezekiel's task seemed easy. He was to go and speak to one people who spoke his own language, who had been brought up in the same way he did, to know God as their Lord and Saviour. It should have been easy. But the house of Israel was going through a rebellious stage, and they didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to taste this good fare, this good spiritual food that God was trying to give them. It's a little like our reading from the other week, from 2 Timothy 4. For the time is coming when people will not listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. It's always good to examine our hearts and minds, isn't it? To ask, is that us? Are we actually hoping for teachers who will just pat us on the head and tell us how wonderful we are and everything's great? Are we not listening to what God wants to say to us because we'd rather hear something more palatable? Do we have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart? A GIF came up on my phone the other day on Facebook. I don't know if you've seen it. Oh dear, I'm not sure if it was a male or a female because they're wearing big hoodie and they've got the hood up. And it's obviously taken on somebody's phone through a car window. I think it's in a Mediterranean type country. And clearly the shepherd has just come up a steep mountain and is then crossing this dirt track. And so the person filming it, obviously, oh, great, you know. Seeing a shepherd and the sheep just coming up the mountainside. We've got to stop here anyway because the sheep are in the road. And then all of a sudden you see, I suspect it was a ram, but I don't know, headbutt this poor shepherd. And they really hurt when they do that. And this poor person is lying there, their arms and legs just moving around. I don't know if they were temporarily almost, I don't know, stunned in the back somehow. But they really can't get up. And then eventually they manage to sort of get themselves halfway crouching. And that blooming ram comes again and hits them back down to the floor again. I'd like to have been able to show it to you because it is pretty graphic. But I don't know how to put GIFs onto the screen. Somebody can teach me later if they like. But to be honest, it's really brutal. Really brutal. Yet time and time again, this is how people respond and responded to God's prophets. The very people who are trying to take God's people to a better place with good sustenance, which will cause them to flourish, are knocked down by those who have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Those people who think they know best and neither want to listen nor hear. Jesus spoke about them, didn't he? When he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets. God knows this, and in verses 8 and 9 tells the prophet, but I will make you as unyielding and hardened as they are. I will make your forehead like the hardest stone, harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious people. Well, I think most of you know that I used to be a sheep farmer. I had 1,400 ewes and a few rams as well. Their heads are designed so that actually if they bash heads, eventually one will be knocked unconscious. But actually they will do less damage themselves if they butt heads. And this is that's what's behind this passage. I will give you a hard forehead as well so that you can meet those hard-headed people head on, because if you meet them head on, you won't be as badly damaged as you would be if they caught you on the side like that poor shepherd in that gift. What does this happens to somebody when God has to make them hard-headed as well. It changes them. Being a prophet is not easy. You would think, wouldn't you, that God's people would be delighted to hear from God and respond favorably to the one that God sends. But as Ezekiel and so many others have found out, that's too often not what happens. How do we respond when we hear God's message, which is challenging, which wants to change us? Do we hear and listen? Or do we disparage or put down the one who's delivered it? And he said to me, Son of man, listen carefully and take to heart all the words I speak to you. Go now to your countrymen in exile and speak to them. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, whether they listen or fail to listen. Ezekiel was challenged by God to go and deliver the message, and he responded in obedience. Each of us, as disciples of Christ, have been given that great commission to go and make and nurture disciples. We are to share the good news of God, that life-giving message of hope, acceptance, and love, which we have received, is the greatest thing that we can pass on to family and friends. We know that joy and that peace. Why would we not want to share it with all our hearts? So back to the collect for Bible Sunday. We need to hear the scriptures. Oh, have none of the slides come up at all? Sorry. We have them at the 9 o'clock. Anyway, we need to hear the scriptures, not merely listen to them. And we need to allow others the opportunity of hearing them too. We need to read the scriptures. Some of us find it easier to take in the word of God when we read it than when we hear it spoken. And we need to consider whether we are being called as well to support those charities like the Bible Society or Open Doors who distribute the word of God in somebody's natural tongue. Because having preached in a second language, it's really hard actually. It's tiring. It's so much easier to take in God's word in our own first native language. And we need to mark. Mark here means more than merely paying attention. It means to make a mark, not only in the outward sense. I don't know about you, but in my Bibles at home, I've got whole passages underlined, often in different colours, because a different verse has sprung out at me at a different time, and little notes written in very small writing in the margins. I'm not sure if I could read them all now because my eyesight's beginning to go a bit. But we like to mark things, don't we? But this isn't exactly what he's saying. He's saying, mark them inside you. Those verses, those passages of scripture which really speak to you, let them mark you inside. Let them have an effect upon you. Don't ignore the work of the Holy Spirit, which is trying to mark scriptural verses inside you. And marking and being marked in turn is the beginning of learning. Some of us here, when we were at school, learnt by the didactic method, where we learnt by rote. Some of you are too young for that. But when I was at school, we learnt so many things like the timetables. 1, 12 is 12. 2, 12 is 24. And so many things were learnt by heart. And that's sort of gone out of fashion, but actually it's not a bad way of learning scripture. Learning those verses, sometimes learning whole passages, which are really, really important, because you don't know when you will need the comfort or the guidance that those particular verses can offer. And if you know them, if you've learnt them by heart, they will come back into your mind at a certain time. A few years ago, I went to see somebody who had a coma, and they said, she probably can hear, but we can't guarantee it. She's been in a coma for a few days now. And I went in and I was praying with her, and as I prayed the Lord's Prayer, her lips started to move, and she started to pray it, because she'd learnt the Lord's Prayer by heart since a very, very young age. It's important that we learn scripture. Possibly, though, the most prayerful request in our collect is the deepest. Inwardly digest. And this is the bit that's like, eat the scroll. This has its roots in a profound and ancient way of reading, still preserved by the church in the name Lectio Divina. You can see its earliest roots in Jesus' words to Satan, which are themselves a quotation from Scripture, when he said to Satan when he was in the desert, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." We are to live on and be sustained by Scripture, just as we live on and are sustained by bread. I hesitate to say that now, because some people are gluten-free and probably don't eat bread as the main staple of their diet, but most peoples do. We are to live on and be sustained by Scripture. So I'm just going to very briefly tell you about Lectio Divina, because I think it is a really good way of looking at the Scriptures, and it's something that's very, very easy to do. It draws on the ancient Jewish practice of Haggadah, which is a text that's read during Passover that retells the Exodus story. And Haggadah means telling. And along with being a physical text, the word captures the practice of telling and retelling and retelling a story, so that it not only sinks fully into your head and you can repeat it verbatim, but so that it lives in your hearts as well. And the Christian form of Lectio Divina was first introduced by Gregory of Nyssa in around the 4th century. So it's been around quite a long time now, and it was Benedict who established the Benedictine order who really brought it to life and introduced it into so much of the Christian world. In Lectio Divina, the chosen script, chosen part of Scripture, is read 4 times. So first, the easiest way to do it is to go into a room, preferably by yourself, and just ask God to speak to you through the Word. Acknowledge that you are in the presence of God, that God is there and wants to speak to you. And then read that passage through. The first reading is an opportunity to get to know the Scripture passage. Some words will usually jump out at you, or some phrases will just almost be highlighted in your mind. Wait patiently for God to give you gentle guidance on those words. Then the second reading of the same passage focuses further on the points you became aware of during the first reading. Reflect on what you believe God is trying to say to you, but don't analyze the passage. Don't use it as a Bible study. Instead, just see what God is saying to you personally, because the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and God wants to speak to each and every one of us every day through His Word. Listen to what God might be saying to you in your current situation. It can help as well to prayerfully ask God to make His focus clear. And then in the third reading, we respond. It can be helpful to record our thoughts when we do this, because we can so easily forget things. And sometimes it can be really good to look back in your journal and see how far your thought processes have gone, how much deeper you know God. This is also the time in which you can respond in prayer. And the fourth reading, it's good to spend about 10 minutes in silent contemplation. It isn't a time of prayer or meditation, it's just sitting and allowing God's word to soak into you. Allowing God to speak deep into your heart and mind, to rest in God. I pray that you will find that a useful way of looking at God's word, because God wants to speak to each and every one of us, and His Scriptures are absolutely incredible and transforming. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life which you have given us in our Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.